Recently, I had the opportunity to make a Zoom presentation to a group of mortgage agents and brokers on how to build relationships with realtors, which is one of their target audiences. I think you'll find the content helpful, not if you're only a mortgage agent or broker, but really for anybody looking to build business-to-business relationships and some insights and tips as to how you can best do that and build those relationships and obviously increase your business. So enjoy the episode. Welcome to the Real Estate Investor Content Marketing Podcast, where we help you build a private following of investors to finance your next real estate investment project. We're here to show you how to create content that people can't ignore and that turns your real estate investing business into a standout success. In each episode, we'll explore the secrets of content marketing for real estate investors. We'll chat with smart people, give you useful tips, and share success stories from others who've mastered content marketing in their real estate investing businesses. We'll cover topics like writing articles, blog posts, ebooks, video, podcasts, email, marketing, online education, social media, graphics and images, and of course, AI. If it's content, we'll have the experts and the insights you'll need. Whether you're learning to tell compelling stories, figuring out social media, or growing your real estate investing business through content, you're in the right place. And now, on with the show. What about Disney? What sort of things would you think if I said, you know, think of the brand Disney and put them in the chat? Animation? Princess, yep. Anybody else? Disneyland, kids' stories, yep. Quite often people will say family. So if Disney launched a porn channel tomorrow, it wouldn't be very on brand for them, would it? So when you think about the brands that you know and love, it isn't necessarily about the products or services that they offer. It's about the emotions and everything that you connect with that brand. It's the reasons why people will always buy an Apple Mac versus a PC, for example. And when you see people with Apple Macs and you see another Mac person, they almost kind of nod to each other as a kind of recognition of their love of that brand. So what we're going to do is take a very quick coffee break. What I'd like you to do is I'm going to put up a logo of a coffee store. And in the chat, I'd like you to put one word that best describes that coffee store, good or bad, that someone else would be able to guess who it is without knowing the brand, without knowing anything else. You would just put that one word. So I'm going to put the first one up.
Lita, I have to wait.
What one word would you put for Starbucks? Seattle? Yeah. Lattes? Pumpkin spice latte. That must be a hyphenated one word, I think. High end? Yeah. Terrible Earl Grey tree. I didn't know that, Gene.
Oh, that's terrible.
Grande? Okay. Okay. What about if I do this one? Double, drive through, Timbits? Yeah. Canadian? Yeah. Food court, hockey? Yeah. Hockey is a popular one. Yeah. Cheap. Okay, and what about this one? You're probably all too young to even know who Coffee Time is. Meh. Okay. 1990s, smaller chain, yeah. Okay, so the interesting thing is, with the exception of Starbucks, most of you were giving words that talked more about the brand association or the essence or what they're connected to. Quite often, if I do this exercise in a workshop environment, we get the tables to come up with the words. Quite often with Starbucks, the table will say expensive, and then the rest of the room laughs straight away and says Starbucks. You know, Starbucks has enabled us to understand how to pay $5 for a coffee and not even think about it. It's amazing how many people, you know, can't do without their $5 lattes or whatever else. But the interesting one as well is sometimes we'll take this a stage further and we get people to come up with taglines. And the funniest one we ever had, or at least I ever had, was Coffee Time. Because Coffee Time, if you don't know, it's funny because some people will say smoky. I mean, when was the last time you were allowed to smoke inside a restaurant or a coffee store? But, you know, Coffee Time is kind of associated with, you know, kind of dingy and horrible. And this particular table of accountants came up with the Coffee Time tagline was where the crack addicts go. So you can just see with regards to brands, and you want to start thinking about your brand, is what are the words and emotions that people will associate with you versus someone else who does what you do. So if we look at the MPH process, the first is the M stands for me. So this is kind of looking at what's under the hood. 85% of your financial success is due to your personality, your ability to communicate, negotiate, and lead. and only 15% is actually dependent on technical skills. So when you're thinking about yourself, it's useful to know what type of style of person you are and how you best suit kind of networking and building relationships. So there's a couple of things that you can think about. And again, in the chat, let's have a think about, you know, what skills and attributes do you think best describe a mortgage agent? Pop them in the chat. Flexible. Yeah. Helpful. Yeah. Knowledgeable. Yes. Honest. Yeah. Available. Caring. Social. Communicate complex financial terms. Yeah. Educated. Yeah. Detail orientated. Communication. Yeah. So a lot of those words and descriptions and skills are what I would term rational. So the rational ones are the words and skills that people would use to describe you as a mortgage agent or broker, but then also other mortgage agents or brokers. So they're not necessarily differentiating. They're important. They're kind of what I term the table stakes, but they don't necessarily differentiate you. So you need them to do what you do and to be recognized as a skilled mortgage agent, but they don't necessarily make you stand out. So the thing you want to think about is, what are the emotional attributes and skills that you bring to the table? It might be something a little bit different than what is needed to do the day-to-day work and job that you do. So you want to start thinking about looking at yourself. One of the things to think about is, are you an extrovert or an introvert? And I don't know if you've heard of the term ambivert, but the majority of us are actually ambiverts. We're kind of a cross between extroverts and introverts. And there's a useful free assessment that you can take. The link is there, danpink.com/assessment. And it asks you a series of questions, and it will tell you what type of person you tend to fall under in terms of one of those three things. It's not that you're in a good place or a bad place in any of these, but it's good to understand what type of person you are, so that as you're approaching building relationships or you're approaching networking situations, you can understand what's going to give you energy and then also what's going to be draining for you. So for example, an extrovert might enjoy group type of networking environments very much more than an introvert that might prefer kind of smaller groups or one-on-one type of meetings. So that's one thing that you can do for yourself to understand more about who you are and what makes you tick. The other is, what are your unique skills? So choose, when you're thinking about skills, think about what it is that you're best known for. And again, it may not be all completely related to being a successful and good mortgage agent. You kind of want that combination of rational and emotional skills. And the same goes with attributes, that functional or rational attributes versus emotion. So if we look at some of the ones that you put into the chat, you could say things like, knowledgeable, helpful, honest. Yes, you'd want all those as a good mortgage agent. So those would be functional or rational. But when you think about emotional, it might be that you're the fun mortgage agent, or you're the quirky mortgage agent, or you're the, those kind of words that don't necessarily are important to do what you do, but they differentiate you. And these will be the reasons why somebody wants to work with you, for you, or use you as their agent. So in terms of building relationships, those are the kind of things that you want to make yourself stand out. Those are the kind of things you want to communicate when you're expressing your brand, be that in person, be that on social media, wherever you're getting your message out there. Now, the second part is of the MPH is to prepare. So there's several things that you can do in terms of building a picture around your ideal target realtors, for example. So obviously, we have great use of technology nowadays. You can Google people. You can find out a lot about people. You can go on social media and find out about them and their personal interests. So you can start to really build a picture. You can go back over past records and see what kind of interactions you had with the individual or the organization. And then there's things like, you can use the Mackay 66. So Harvey Mackay wrote a book called Dig Your Well Before You're Thirsty. And he has a fantastic resource of 66 questions that you can ask to build a complete picture of your ideal prospects. And I'll make that available to Gina and she can share that with you. But it really helps you kind of build a picture before you even actually need to go and meet the person, so that it takes away a lot of the fear that we have in going in cold or going in to a new relationship or starting to build a relationship is if you know a lot about the person beforehand, you kind of then can prepare what kind of things you could be talking about to start that relationship off. So it starts to fill in pieces of the puzzle. And then the third is harmony. So in terms of harmony, the kind of things you want to think about is how are you going to unlock what's going on in their mind? And the way to do that is to be not making statements and not thinking about what's in it for me, but I'm trying to understand more about what's in it for them. Because most people don't listen with the intent to understand, they listen with the intent to reply. And I don't know, I do it, you know, I'm guilty of it. I think we probably all are at some point, but you can find yourself as somebody's saying something in a conversation, you're spending more time thinking about what, you know, how you're going to reply to it versus really intensely listening to what they're saying and asking questions. So you want to be thinking about, you know, your body language, you want to be thinking about how you're interacting and your communication skills when you're, you know, sitting down in front of that person or you're standing in front of that person, making sure you're listening for their cadence and the speed that, and the volume that they're delivering and the body language that they're showing so that you really kind of make yourself connect to them in more ways than just, you know, asking the next question or making the next statement. And the, you know, the six questions kicking off with a, you know, a what, a why, a when, a how, a where, or a who always enables you to get more information because it's an open-ended question. It's much more likely not to generate a yes or no answer. And then beyond that, you want to be thinking about what is the depth that you can go to in terms of going deeper when they're coming to you with the answer to whatever question you've asked them. So the kind of things that you could be asking them about are, you know, what are the things that they like to do from a hobby perspective? What are the things they like to do in terms of travel? What are their future goals, their aspirations? What do they do in the community? How do they volunteer? Now, a lot of this, you could have built up that picture prior through doing that research, doing that preparation ahead of time, spending time on social media, building a picture of that person, Googling them, finding out what kind of business they do. You can find out so much more nowadays than you could, you know, even 10 years ago. And then asking the question behind the question. This is a really short book, QBQ by John Miller. But again, it's probably one of the most influential books you could have in terms of building relationships, because it's all about going deeper and asking that question behind the question. And that will build a much stronger relationship with people and really show to them that you're showing interest and you're not just there to think about what's in it for you, but, you know, really try to understand what makes them tick and build relationships with them, deeper relationships with them. So in terms of the MPH, you've got me, you've got the preparation, you've got the harmony, and then you can push the start button. So in case of fear, don't use the elevator. So a lot of people have a fear of kind of networking, and then they have a fear of, you know, what's my elevator pitch? What am I going to say in a situation when people say, what is it you do? So this is a template, and I'm going to give you a couple examples, and then I'm going to put the template up again so that you can spend a couple of minutes trying to work on your own elevator pitch. But what is it you do? So I work with, and then, you know, realtors in the Windsor area, for example, who have this problem or challenge. You know, when you're thinking about building relationships with realtors or with anybody, you want to be sure that you're going to be solving a problem or helping them overcome a challenge. Otherwise, what's in it for them in terms of, you know, why should they be interested otherwise? Then how do you do it? This is where you bring in your skills, so the rational skills and the rational attributes as a good mortgage agent, but then also your unique attributes and skills that you bring to the table that are a little bit different and help differentiate you from all the other mortgage agents that are trying to get the same business from that realtor. And then what is it you help them do? What's the ultimate outcome? And then if they're interested, they show interest, get ready with success stories. Give examples. Give specific examples of how you've helped similar people in similar situations with similar problems or challenges. So, for example, you know, somebody who has maybe traveled a lot, somebody mentioned caring as one of the things about a mortgage agent, a skill or an attribute. But say you've traveled a lot, you've very good at anticipation. Maybe that's a unique skill or attribute that you have. And you work with busy professionals who are looking to relocate. So this is the kind of thing where you could say you have, you know, you use your global experience and your caring nature to anticipate the specific needs for busy professionals and their families looking to relocate. Or it could be you use creative sourcing and maybe you're really into the market data around mortgages and lending, and then you have very good local knowledge. So again, you could be somebody that is offering more of a complete picture to a realtor than somebody that's just saying, yeah, we can get you the best rates, which would probably be the default answer of a lot of people. So what I'd like you to do is just spend a couple of minutes starting to work on your own elevator pitch. And if anybody's feeling brave enough to put it into the chat, it would be great. I'll just take a sip of water and I'll give you a couple of minutes to play with that. If you have any questions that you want to ask, either throw them into the chat, or I guess you can unmute yourself if you have something or something's not clear for you. Anybody feeling brave enough that they've got something they want to put in as a draft into? I work with first-time home buyers who are fearful of entering the real estate market. Excellent. Okay, so Joanne, what else do you do? What is it in terms of either an attribute or skill that helps you overcome those first-time buyer fearful piece?
I was doing one at a time. I'm thinking about achievement.
Oh, okay.
Thinking, but I'll write it down here.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for volunteering first. I appreciate it. Anybody else in the meantime want to put anything in, either one part of it or all of it, if you have it? I'm not expecting the success stories. That's probably a little bit more, takes a little bit more time for you to, and it's probably a little bit more detailed. But the first two parts of it, what you do and how you do it. I use my realtor background and customer service trainer background to make people feel, treat them like that. Yeah, so Joanne, you might say something like, as a former realtor and customer service trainer, I use that X.
Oh, yes. Okay.
To help first-time buyers who are fearful of entering the real estate market feel more confident with the decisions they make. Something.
Right.
So that just that one, maybe that one little skill or attribute, and I think you'd be very close to it.
Okay.
Every client I ever had as a realtor is invited. Excellent. Hopefully not a coffee at coffee time. But...
yeah.
Anybody else or anybody have questions or anybody struggling with this?
It's something that gets tweaked though, right, Paul? I mean, you work with something and then you just tweak it as you go along.
Yeah, absolutely, Gina. Yeah, I'm not saying this is it. You're set in stone. You can't ever change it. And you're going to find what works, you know, what gets a positive reaction, what gets, if the idea of the elevator pitch is to start a conversation. You know, that's what you're hoping is that somebody's going to say, well, that's interesting. How do you do that? Or, well, could you tell me a little bit more? Or, yeah, we don't normally deal with those kind of people, so I don't know if that's a fit. At least you're going to have some kind of reaction that you can start to then delve a little bit deep.
I have a friend who's an insurance agent, and his elevator pitch was, hi, so-and-so, and I help people sleep at night. And that was like, well, how do you do that? You don't immediately think he's an insurance agent, right? You think other things, and you go, well, what does that mean, right? So it really opens up the conversation.
Yeah. Okay, great. We've got a couple more. Yeah, so Pam, what I'd probably suggest is maybe something like expanding out a little bit more as to how you do that. Or they can't get a mortgage at an A lender, you know, for whatever reason, and you find a way to buy, you know, buy the house. So maybe it's, you know, I have a good, you know, good network of B lender connections or network or something to that effect, which enables me to help people who can't get a mortgage with an A lender have the opportunity to buy the house that they want or house of their dreams, or, and then, you know, what that would mean to the realtor. I work with borrowers, people to obtain financing. Yeah. So Simran, the thing I'd probably want to know a little bit more about is the financial acumen that you mentioned. So maybe there's something in your background or you've got, you know, I use my degree in finance to, you know, or something to that effect that just gives a little bit more of you. Because otherwise, you know, you run the risk that other people would say something similar. So that's what you want to, ideally, at the end of the day, and I'm not saying you're going to come up with the perfect one right now, but ideally, at the end of the day, if I was to take your name off that elevator pitch, it would be hard for somebody else to put their name on it. You know, that's the old ideal that you want, right? You know, the absolute ideal would be to that point. Okay, let's move forward. I'm going to leave some time for questions and everything else.
I'm also happy as well. If anybody wants to work on this and then email me afterwards for some input, I'm more than happy to continue to try and help you kind of flesh it out. If I would say that I have a particular unique skill, it's being able to hear people, what they're trying to achieve, and then help them to get that condensed into some kind of message that is clear and effective.
Thank you.
I'll just do this other one. I work with many business owners who have challenges getting a mortgage as they don't declare as much income. Okay, that's good. It's interesting because, you know, I'd kind of immediately be intrigued by the without their tax return. Yeah, so it's interesting. It's different. And also, it suggests to me that you specialize in working with business owners, which, again, you're positioning yourself with some expertise in a particular area. And again, the elevator pitch doesn't necessarily restrict you, but it helps people. If you think about the people you refer, the chances are there's something that's stuck in your mind that makes you remember why you refer them. You know, if somebody's very general, it's very hard for you to kind of pinpoint. But if you're able to say, oh yeah, I know, yeah, this mortgage agent, they specialize in working with small business owners, especially those that don't have the money on their tax returns where they could normally qualify for a mortgage, then, you know, then straight away you'd be able to refer. And that's what you want as well. You want people to be able to refer you. So the other thing that Keith Ferrazzi talks about in his book, and you know, with realtors, it may be not so difficult, although, you know, it's always nice to have some kind of warm introduction versus a cold attempt at building a relationship with a realtor. So Ferrazzi talks about getting to know what he calls super connectors. So these are people that have an unusual size network or an unusual reach because of the nature of the work that they do or what they're involved in. So the kind of people are things like maitre d's or restaurant owners, because they see a very wide expanse of people, you know, people that present or speak, headhunters, you know, recruitment consultants, that kind of route, bankers, obviously, and then things like journalists or media people or influencers. So when you're starting to think about your network and building out your network, be sure to spend some time making sure that you've got a good selection and an array of super connectors within your network, because that might shortcut your ability to get to key people that you want to reach, whether it's realtors or other markets.
I have a question. How would you approach, like, I don't understand how you would work with super connectors.
Well, usually super connectors I find are people that are always interested in building out more relationships because it serves their purpose as well. So again, it's kind of going to people and said, how can I best help you? And then hopefully in return is how do they help you? Or, you know, hopefully you get the opportunity to say, well, you know, if you ever come across, you know, a realtor, you know, the top realtors in the town or whatever it is, I'd appreciate an introduction. Or you ever hear of people, you know, you ever hear of business owners who are struggling to get a mortgage, you know, that's the kind of work that I specialize in. Make sense?
Yes. So you're developing a relationship with them so they become a powerful referral partner.
Right.
Referring you to more referral partners.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah. And then what I suggest is some kind of action plan. I call it the 3-15-5-1 plan. So this is the kind of thing that you want to be doing on a consistent basis, because follow-up is key to success. You can't necessarily expect a relationship to kick off, you know, from one meeting or one introduction. So make three introductions of other people to people in your network. That's always very powerful because people will remember that. Look to send 15 notes per week. So thank you notes are great, but obviously there's also things like emails, there's follow-up from when you met somebody, whatever it happens to be, but, you know, making sure that you're in regular contact or regular follow-up. A good way to split out people is kind of break them down into 1-2-3s or ABCs. You know, A prospects are obviously people that, you know, you think you've got a really good chance of building relationship and getting business from. Those kind of people, you want to be touching them on a more regular basis to keep your name in front of them, versus somebody you think, yeah, I don't really have a lot of hope there. They're probably a C or a 3. I'm going to keep in touch with them, you know, once every 3 months or 6 months. Whereas somebody who's a hot prospect is somebody you want to be keeping in touch with every few weeks. 5 phone calls a day or a week, and then one gift or making one kind of gesture somewhere you can help, you know, and stand out and be memorable for people. But as I say, follow-up is the key to success. And don't keep score. I think it's always, maybe it's partly human nature, but you know, I think that we're always kind of, yeah, well, I've done all this, you know, I should get something back in return. But if you do really go from the perspective of, you know, giving and making other people successful, it will come back to you. Sometimes it takes time, but if you're keeping a score, then there's not a true, genuine, authentic reason behind why you're doing what you're doing. So if people have achievements, then, you know, compliment them on that, recognize it. Quite often you'll see that again on social media is quite a common thing. You'll see people talking about particular achievements or milestones that they've reached. Obviously looking for that common ground from your preparation and building up the picture of people. You know, if you're keeping in touch with people, you're continuing to try and help them, then you're going to be the right person at the right time for the right reason. And if you're going to be withdrawing in terms of, you know, you're calling on somebody to help with you, then ensure that it's, you know, for, you know, a strong reason and it's purposeful and it's going to, you know, be worthwhile you're doing that. Because if you, I can think of an example of somebody who's a friend who's always taking, and eventually you just really don't feel like helping them. You know, don't be that person. And then when you're thinking about realtors in particular, you know, there's a few ways to kind of find them or identify who are the ones that maybe are more likely to turn into good prospects. Obviously, the associations are one place to go, but there are, you know, thousands of realtors in every association. I was reading up on the stats just this week, and I think it was something like 80,000 realtors in Ontario. Does that sound about right? I mean, it's a crazy, wow. It's a crazy number, but of course, the majority of them are not active or very active realtors. You know, the classic kind of school teacher that sells two houses a year and pays for the summer vacation kind of thing. But, you know, the ones that obviously you're going to be looking to build relationships with are the ones who are much more active and at a kind of the, you know, doing multiple deals a year. So, you know, looking for who are the people that are kind of trying to stand out, maybe trying to build brands for themselves. The chances are those people are going to be much more open to building relationships with fellow professionals like yourselves. So, you know, a couple of examples. I don't know if you know Rob Golfi in Hamilton, but, you know, he's got a weekly radio show that actually goes out into three regions across Southern Ontario, you know, very active, lots of activity. So those kind of people that have, you know, podcasts or local spots on radio shows, probably more likely to be active realtors that are looking to build business.
I just want to point out, Alina, are you seeing this Shauna Arthur's marketing down there?
Yes, I was just looking at her. Yes, for sure. For sure.
So that's her LinkedIn profile, by the way. So that's how she positions herself professionally on LinkedIn. But it gives you a real sense of somebody that's very different, and that has, mm-hmm. She's also done a very good job of differentiating herself. I don't know if anybody covers the Guelph area and knows Beth. And so Beth and Ryan have sponsored local hockey teams. They do a regular radio spot with Market Data. And Beth is actually blonde. So they did a deal with a local beer company and produced a blonde lager with their names on it. So they're quite fun to watch because they're really quite creative in what is a, you know, pretty small market. What's Guelph, about 100,000 people, but, you know, very active and one of the top teams in the Guelph area. This young guy is actually out in BC, Connor Kelly. He was a former plumber, if I remember rightly. He was a guest on my podcast a while back, and he got really into understanding market data. He spent a ton of time, even before he became a realtor, ton of time kind of understanding the market and analyzing the figures. And then that's what he started to put out on social media. And he just focused in, he looked at, you know, where everybody else was active. And realized that nobody was really doing in his market on TikTok. They really weren't on TikTok. He just started firing out videos on a, I think, daily basis on TikTok. In his first year, he sold 50 houses, or he did 50 deals, and it was all through TikTok. So, and if any of you are wanting to really focus in locally, TikTok's algorithm is very locally driven. So you can really build a good local business quite effectively on TikTok. And then the other one is things that occurred to me, you know, in terms of building is kind of networking events or networking groups. In particular, things like BNI. I don't know if anybody here a member of BNI. So mm-hmm. typically, BNI chapter only allows one person from each profession or type of role. And usually the ones that fill up the fastest, realtors and lawyers, I think, and mortgage brokers. So if you're looking for, you know, who's the active realtor in a particular area, check out the local BNI chapter. You know, if they're in BNI, then that is all about referring business to each other. So you know that realtor is going to be an active person looking for business. And then obviously community volunteer events. I find realtors are very active in kind of local volunteer standing out in the community. So that's another easy way for you to know that those people are, again, are looking to build business. And, you know, in summary, you know, success is a journey. It's not a destination. And that's the same with network. Eye on things, making sure that follow-up is there, and then obviously reevaluating what's working, what isn't, and really getting an understanding of, you know, what's going to work for you and what works best. Thank you.